The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we're back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. We love to hear from all of our listeners across the country. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Info, eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. I tell you what, you want to click on Podcast Arena after the show. We have had some amazing interviews. Oh my goodness. Texas legend, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Red McCombs with us tonight on SB Nation. But right now, to kick off Hour 2, we're going to open the mic up once again for Shea Raftus, our producer here of the Big E Sports Show. And let's talk about, we're previewing so many of these big matchups, the conference matchups tomorrow. But let's step back for a moment. Mack Brown, he reasserts himself and he is back to coaching again at North Carolina. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And Mack Brown was at North Carolina before Texas.
That's right.
Yep. Took them to heights in his last year they had not been, and set the springboard for his long career at Texas. And it is interesting what North Carolina does from here, because Mack Brown, we all know about, you know, how it kind of fell off towards the end. But if he has the attention to detail, which he didn't really have to me pretty much after Colt McCoy left, if he can get that nailed down, and then also the key for him, hiring good assistants. Because Mack Brown, you can say whatever you want about him, the guy could recruit. And I think he will be able to recruit at North Carolina if he can get a good offensive coordinator and then get a good DC, maybe a Gene Chizik. You know, they have a history of working together at Texas and in the past. If you have that, that's two good proven coordinators and then guys that can also recruit. North Carolina can really be a force if he, again, the big thing is attention to detail. He kind of lifts up. I think he knows that. Mack Brown's a smart guy, and I think he'll try to build a similar thing at North Carolina where he could be that CEO type, let his coordinators do his thing, recruit, and play to his strengths, because that ACC Coastal Division is for the taking. Miami is a mess. Virginia Tech fell off. If they could put that together, I think North Carolina could be a force there.
Okay, Mack Brown is back, but what about Les Miles?
Kansas. It's another same thing.
Rock, strong Jayhawk. Recruiter.
I think the same thing is good. The key for him is Can he build a staff at Kansas? Same with Mack Brown. I think both of them are in that same particular. I think Mack Brown's in a better spot because Kansas football is just a bad job. But, you know, Les Miles can recruit, so we'll see if he can up that talent level.
Okay, much more college football coverage tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We were just talking with Shea Raftus, our producer at SB Nation. We will be right back after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. As promised, we're going to continue our college football coverage, but first, we have to thank the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, and that is Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, they are close, convenient, and they are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, we are fired up, especially in our next segment, because we are going to take time to preview the Big 12 Conference Championship game. Of course, that's going to be held tomorrow in Arlington at AT&T Stadium, and the stakes are certainly high. A very exciting matchup with the Longhorns and the Sooners. Of course, the Longhorns, they are seeking their first conference championship since 2009. They have had an outstanding year, 9-3 overall, 7-2 in the Big 12. And for Oklahoma, they're trying to win the league title for the fourth year in a row, and of course, trying to keep their hopes alive to advance to the college football playoff. And we are so delighted to open up the phone lines and welcome back to the show our favorite Texan, strong supporter of his Longhorns, and that is the legendary and the great Red McCombs. Good evening, Red.
Just keep talking, Alyssa. You're making me feel better all the time. We're all excited about the game coming up with the Okies, and the Longhorns are ready, and the Okies are not going to hide and go home. So I think we got a great show coming for all of the football fans and even those that are not football fans.
Yeah. You know, it is an epic rematch, I should say, because it was just in October that these two played, of course, in the Red River rivalry. And I would think from the Oklahoma's perspective that, you know, revenge is going to be a tremendous motivator because they lost by three in Dallas. So tell me this, Red, you know, what intrigues you the most about this particular matchup?
The Sooners couldn't just do it by themselves. They had to get top people in there to play, and they've done that, and they've poised themselves right straight out to be one of the best operations in college football. And now, finally, we've got the Longhorns have decided they are going to play a few games, and they did their last game against the Sooners.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking maybe that they may do the same thing Saturday, and we get another win over there.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, Saturday's Big 12 title game, you have to think, Red, it's got to be perhaps the biggest in the history of this conference. And I know you're a smart guy. You probably predicted it would come down to Texas and Oklahoma, that they would meet for a second time in the same season. So, but I have to wonder, the venue, I mean, that's going to be different. They're not playing at the Cotton Bowl. Do you think that that perhaps could play into the narrative with how this ultimately plays out, Red?
I really don't, because these two teams, they have every reason in the world. Each team has very reason in the world to win this game. Mm-hmm. And certainly you'd have to say that the overall general public is going to have to say, well, Oklahoma's got the stronger team, and that gives the Longhorns reason for them to play better than what they ordinarily would. So we're just in for a great game of football at every level, and now we've got it down to another playoff here between two really, really fine programs.
Absolutely. Christmas comes early. It's going to be a dynamic and exciting matchup. And right now, you are listening to the voice, Texas legend, entrepreneur, philanthropist, the great Red McCombs, who's joining us right now at SB Nation Radio. I tell you what, Red, you know, I think Tom Herman said it best, you know, that it's one thing to earn the right to play in the conference title game, but they've got to take care of business, the Longhorns. So I want to ask you about belief. I mean, do you believe they can walk away with a W and, you know, pick up two wins against Oklahoma in 2018?
Well, you can go the way that handicappers use certain things in their decisions, well, they go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. The handicappers think that the Sooners are the stronger team, and I think the handicappers are probably right. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be right at that moment at that time. So Texas has to hope that they get a break and that they stop all that just great, great, great critical running game that Oklahoma has. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I hope everybody keeps their head on straight, because one of them is going to walk away without a victory, I can tell you.
Well, but, right now, yeah.
It's going to be wonderful.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard to believe. Here, head coach Tom Herman, only in his second season with Texas. And, you know, as we look at his body of work, I mean, as I said, you know, it's really been a breakout year. They've made definite strides in the right direction. They're playing consistent football. I want to get your thoughts on just the improvement that you have witnessed in 2018. I mean, he's got folks talking, and the Longhorns, they're back in the, you know, relevance in terms of when we talk about nationally. I mean, they're back.
Well, they're back for the moment, but they haven't really proved that they're back. I think it's going to take them another year or two to really be back.
Okay.
But in the meantime, this will be a game that'll go a long way toward telling what really is here. Both teams obviously are going to put on the best show that they can. At the end of the day, both the people who are following football, whether they're fans of either school, really doesn't matter. You don't have to be fans of either school. You know you're fans of top school athletic programs on the college level. And that's wonderful for the game, wonderful for everybody involved.
Well, I think one of the biggest questions when we look at Texas, heading into this season was the Longhorns. As we look at last year, I mean, their inability to close out tight games. I mean, fourth quarter overtime turnovers led to losses. You know, for example, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, USC. What do you think has been the key to flipping the script this year? They're winning some of these close games now, and they're taking care of business. They've responded.
Well, I think what they've done, Alyssa, and you know, you've been in athletics all your life, both as a player and as a broadcaster.
Yes, sir.
And where you have to watch very, very attentively what's happening and who's doing what. But those things cut both ways, and you can make a case very easily why one should beat the other. But when it's all said and done, it's just about 25 kids will be playing each other, and the one that makes the fewest mistakes or has the fewest turnovers, in my estimation, will win that game.
Well, one of the things I have to tell you, all the years that I've interviewed you and that I appreciate so much about you, Red, is that you are all about winning. And so I would love for you tonight to share with our audience, you know, what is your philosophy on winning? Because, you know, kind of your mantra is expect to win. It's one thing to, you know, want to win, but when you expect to win, I mean, there's a definite difference between the two. And what are your expectations? I mean, is Texas going to win on Saturday?
Well, it's just that. I think you said it better than I can say it. But just wanting to win is normal. You know, you'd expect that. You'd rather win than lose. But expecting to win means that you've prepared yourself. I don't know who could have worked any harder preparing for this game than the Longhorns. But there again, you look at all the talent that the Sooners have to start with. They didn't have to prepare as much. They've played together longer. They've been together longer. And remember, this Longhorn bunch has just been together for a couple of years now. And they're learning how to play with each other. And learning that 2 and 2 can make 8 if they both hit it right.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's going to be exciting to see. It's get right up to the last whistle is blown.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You've been listening to Voice Red McCombs, Texas legend, entrepreneur, the biggest Longhorn fan. And, well, listen, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how it all plays out on Saturday as we've taken time with the great Red McCombs to preview the Big 12 Conference Championship game. Always a true honor, Red. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And we look forward to seeing you real soon. Thank you so much for carving out time. We appreciate you.
Well, tell both of those handsome boys of yours that
yes, sir.
I've got their picture right here on my mirror.
Aww.
And I'm looking for them to win some more tournaments.
Okay.
They're playing great. Proud of them.
Absolutely. Well, our mantra now is expect to win, just like that.
That's the way we do it.
Thank you, Red. Have a great weekend. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you. And before we get underway with our next segment, of course, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and they're known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, it is time. We're going to get you ready for the Big 12 title game. And we are so excited to welcome back to the program our go-to guy, who is the senior contributing writer for Horns Illustrated. Steve Habel, he always provides some great insight and answers as we get ready to preview the big-time matchup. How are you, Steve, on this Friday?
I'm doing great. It's a great Friday to be live in the state of Texas.
Well, I tell you what, you got that right. And, Steve, I bet you're a smart guy. I thought this is what you thought, how the season finale would play out between this conference, right? You would get this epic win on the road, and Texas, they're both going to be in this championship game. What do you think?
I did not think that, but thank you so much for the compliment. I actually thought that West Virginia would play in the championship game.
You
West
did?
With my pick to actually play in the college football playoff. But, you know, Oklahoma was just better than them last week, and here we are, Texas and Oklahoma for the second time in a season for the first time since 1903. So it's going to be a barn burner, no doubt, tomorrow.
That's crazy. So what do you think is the biggest storyline leading up to this game on Saturday?
Oh, wow. I think there's some bad blood between the two teams, Alyssa, as could be expected between Texas and Oklahoma through the years. You know, Kyler Murray is an ascendant quarterback. I mean, if it's possible, he may be better than Baker Mayfield for the offense that Lincoln Riley is running. I don't know if he'll win the Heisman because there's some pretty good other quarterbacks out there. But the quarterback play between Texas and Oklahoma will be the difference here, and how Texas handles keeping Oklahoma off the field, if they can run the ball better, even against that porous Oklahoma defense. I mean, they might be easy to score on. They don't want to score too fast. They want to keep Murray and his group off the field, and then hope that they outlast them. And I think Oklahoma wants to do what they do, which is run up and down the field. They're averaging more than 10 yards a play on a snap, which is hard to believe that anybody can do that in college football. It's going to be a shootout. There's no doubt about it.
So you think this game comes down to ultimately ball control?
I think that would be a huge key, ball control and turnovers. Texas wants to make Murray uncomfortable in the pocket. They did that pretty well for three quarters up in the Cotton Bowl earlier this year. And Oklahoma just wants to hold on. I mean, and defensively, I mean, Oklahoma made two defensive plays last week that made the difference in the game. So maybe they've turned the corner defensively. I know that Coach Riley certainly hopes so. But Texas has been pretty sound. They've had five games this year where they haven't had a turnover. Sam Erlinger didn't throw an interception for 308 consecutive passes this year. But he knows where he's going with the ball pretty well. And I think it's just a matter of who outlasts the other.
Hey, Steve Habel back with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We're getting ready for the Big 12 Conference title game. He's the senior contributing writer with Horns Illustrated, hornsillustrated.com. Steve, you know, talking about defense, obviously there's been a lot of talk about Oklahoma and how inept that they have been defensively, a lot of challenges there. How do you think OU will handle Texas's receivers? I mean, the Longhorns, they're big, they're strong, they're physical with Johnson and Humphrey.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a big subplot as well. I mean, Oklahoma's defense has not been that well, especially on the corners. I think that going into the season that everybody thought Texas's big receiver, Colin Johnson, was going to be an all-conference player. And he's had highlights of this year, but he's not even the best receiver on this team. Little Jordan Humphrey has become the best receiver on the team, over 1,000 yards receiving. But neither one of those guys made it on the first or second team for the Big 12 postseason team, or all Big 12 team. Little Jordan was mentioned as an honorable mention, which shows you how good the receivers are in this conference. Those guys want something to prove against Oklahoma. I think they've gotten better since they played against Oklahoma earlier in the year. So I expect big games out of both those guys.
Hey, Steve Habel with us, SB Nation Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with us at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. You know, as I mentioned, talking about Oklahoma's defense, I wanted to get your takeaways as far as you kind of mentioned that, you know, even in that game against Virginia, they made some key defensive plays. Do you think they are progressing defensively? Because if you look at the numbers from the month of November, I mean, goodness, they were giving up like 47 points per game. But, you know, since letting go Mike Stoops, I mean, they're 6-0 since making that type of change.
Yeah, well, there's, their offense makes up for a lot of woes on the defensive side.
Okay, good point.
I mean, remember that they gave up They gave up 704 yards to West Virginia last week. And two touchdowns by West Virginia got called back. That was the difference in the game. I don't know if Oklahoma has improved that much defensively, as if they just run them out there to try to slow, give their offense a breather at this point. You know, Ruffin McNeil is a talented defensive coach. He's proven it at his other stops. But, you know, it's hard to step in the middle of the season. We had that here at Texas a couple years back when Manny Diaz was fired after a bad loss against Brigham Young. And the famous Greg Robinson came in, and he did a decent job of patchworking the defense together, simplifying things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the key, and that's what Coach Herman has said this week, is when he's looked at film of Oklahoma since they played him last time, that the defense looks like they're playing in a simpler way, not, you know, just kind of attacking as best they can and holding on as best they can more than getting too complicated. So that's the key to Oklahoma, is to do what they can do and do it well and force turnovers and just get the ball back to their offense.
How much has Texas improved from 1 year ago?
That's a huge question. I mean, there's obviously already two wins without even a bowl game are the two games that they have ahead of them. You know, Texas is better. There's no doubt they're better across the board. Second year of coaching regime with Coach Herman here. You know, but at the same time, Texas had 9 games out of their 12 decided by a touchdown or less. You think, you know, a couple of those games go one or two plays different, then we're talking about a whole different scenario here. You know, Coach Herman has spoken a lot about how he thinks this team has overachieved this year, mm-hmm. that they're ahead of schedule as far as where he thought they would be. And I think we're all – think they're a little bit ahead of schedule. They're probably a little bit better than we thought they would be. I predicted they'd be 8-4 and then win their bowl game, so they've already exceeded my expectations for them. And, you know, I don't think anybody thought the quarterback would be able to go, you know, from the first game to the 12th game without throwing an interception. He literally had not done an interception until last week, since his last pass of that season opener against Virginia, which is pretty impressive. You know, Texas has got good offensive players, good defensive players, and I mean, you can't be on top of the Big 12 and not be good, be a pretty darn good team at this point in the season.
Hey, a few more minutes tonight with Steve Habel, our friend, senior contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. Check him out, hornsillustrated.com. You gearing up for basketball season? It's underway, too. I mean, there's a lot going on with the Longhorn Hoops program, right?
Yes, Shaka Smart's off to his best start in his 3 years here. They're ranked 17th in the nation, heading into a game, well, that's being played right now against Radford, who's also a 5-1 team. Texas is 5-1, beat North Carolina, and almost beat Michigan State in the Las Vegas Invitational Tournament last week. Mm-hmm. North Carolina was ranked 7th at the time, and Michigan State was ranked 11th. So, you know, they're playing better. They've got a team that's not, doesn't have a superstar player, not a guy that's going to be an early guy going to the NBA. Their best player is Kerwin Roach II, who's a senior, averaging about 24 points a game. But, you know, they're more of a team this year than one superstar player. Like last year, they had Mo Bamba, who ended up going to the pros after his freshman year. The year before that, they had Jared Allen, that went to the pros after his freshman year. So, you know, Texas cranked up some pretty good basketball players, Alyssa.
Absolutely. You know a thing or two about that. Kevin Durant. So how much more will the Longhorns improve this season? I mean, the Big 12 Conference, it's a dynamic conference, a lot of fun, especially when it comes to men's basketball.
Oh, I don't know. I think that, you know, Texas has their next six games are at home, and that gives them a little bit of a jump start on getting some confidence going into the conference season. Big 12 Conference is really, really tough, Liz. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably – I think that top to bottom, they're even better than they were last year. The teams that were bad last year are at the bottom of the pack. You know, Texas and Iowa State are better. And they've still got some good, you know, when you got Bob Huggins and Lon Kruger and Bill Self and Shaka Smart, and we can go on and on down the list, you know, it's a tough conference to win, and there's no doubt about it. I think Texas is better, but I think everybody else is too.
Okay, Steve, we're getting ready to wrap up our time. Steve Habel, senior contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. We extended this invitation tonight because we wanted to get his thoughts on and preview of the Big 12 title game, Sooners Longhorns. Are you going to be at the game, Steve?
I will be there, and I'll be there playing a little golf. Played a little golf today on the way in, and I'm going to stay there and watch the game. I guess they're going to still have that game. Aren't they just going to stop talking about it eventually?
Yeah. Hey, I know you're a big golf enthusiast, and I know you write and blog a lot online about golf. Well, give me a quick hit on the match. What do you think about Phil and Tiger? Do you like it?
I liked it. You know, I think that that's good for the game, even though people have gone back and forth on it. Anytime those guys get together, you know that kind of stuff's going on all the time. I'd like to see them play for their own money next time, though, Alyssa.
Yeah, there's been a lot of feedback. We've talked about it a lot tonight on the program. Listen, safe travels. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And, of course, that was Steve Habel, the senior contributing writer with Horns Illustrated. Always a true pleasure. We'll talk again soon, Steve.
Thanks for having me on, Alyssa. Take care.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back, SB Nation Radio. The Big E Sports Show, good to be back in the saddle after a week off for the Thanksgiving holiday. And thank you so much for joining us each and every Friday night. We certainly missed visiting with our guest last week. That's because it isn't time to visit with former PGA Tour player and author, the great Larry Miller, who I trust he had a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday with Connie as they had the opportunity to check out the match between Phil and Tiger. So, Larry, I'm looking forward to getting your thoughts and takeaways on the good, the bad, the ugly of the telecast.
Oh, okay. Well, the good is that you got to watch two Hall of Fame, you know, icons in the game of golf that'll go down in history as two of the greatest players ever. Tiger maybe being the best, and Phil not far behind. They add up all their victories together, and it's amazing. And you can take another 30 players and combine their victories, and it won't match their total. So you've got, you know, that's the good part of it, is you got these two unbelievable players you get to watch. Play head-to-head. The bad was kind of some of the play was not good.
Right.
You know, Tiger didn't have his A game, obviously. Phil hit a lot of great shots, but missed a lot of putts until it counted. So it was not the most you didn't get to see their best games. Now, the ugly part, to me was the whole thing, was the whole scheme of the thing. Mm-hmm. And I've said before on your show that it's just, to me, it was kind of like wrestling. You know, it was a production. I mean, they were talking the whole time. Mm-hmm. The announcers were interrupting them while they were trying to talk. It was disruptive. You didn't have the momentum that you get in a regular event where the player is just focused on playing golf and just goes from shot to shot and builds momentum through the round. There was no momentum in this. It was, you know, it was just disjointed. And after all, that's what it was. It was a production, and that's what it was supposed to be. But I think the fact that you got to watch these two greats of the game play head to head, you know, probably overshadowed any of the bad stuff. So that was a good thing about it. And I think I'd like to see more of it, but I'd like to see less talking in real golf, the way it's played on the tour. And I'd also like to see the guys put up some of their own money too, and not just play for a pot. So anyway, it was a big production, and apparently it was, you know, a lot of people watched it. A lot of my friends that I talked to, they watched it. Uh-huh. I didn't watch it myself. I wasn't interested in watching it, but I read about it and got all the details from everybody that did. And so that's my take on it. And you know, I think we'll probably see more of it in the future, but maybe it'll be formatted a little bit differently.
You're listening to The Voice, former PGA Tour player and author who joins us each and every week on the Big E Sports Show right here at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio. That is Larry Miller. And, you know, I think you're right on many different levels, Larry. I think the reviews have been mixed. And I think the one thing when my family and I, when we had the opportunity to watch it, is as the broadcast unfolded, you know, just the wagers that took place and sports betting. And, you know, I'm thinking about being the mother of two junior golfers. Is this the best message that we want to send to the next generation of golfers? I think there's other ways to connect and grow the game. But I don't know. It just that kind of bothered me a bit. I'm not a sports betting gal. I don't like to be judgmental, but that didn't settle with me well.
No, I agree with you. I think it cheapened it. Yes. It cheapened the integrity
Absolutely.
Of the game.
Okay.
And I didn't like that aspect of it either. And I would put that in the ugly category. I don't think golf has always been different. You know, it's been a game of etiquette and courtesy and sportsmanship.
Yes.
And the rules strict adherence to the rules that you don't see in a lot of other sports. You know, I've been friends with a lot of tennis pros that played on the tennis tour, you know, big time, Wimbledon, Forest Hills, and everything, and they tell me that they're amazed at how pure golf has always been compared to tennis. They said, in tennis, a ball can be 6 inches off out of the line, and they'll swear, they'll go to their grave saying it was in. You know, they're just trying to get an edge, and they'll do anything to get an edge. But golf's not that way. Golf, you've got players calling penalties on themselves when nobody else even knew about it. It cost Tom Kite a U.S. Open one time when he called a penalty in the rough where the ball moved. Nobody saw it but him.
Wow.
He came out and said his ball moved, and he had to take a penalty and end up losing the U.S. Open by a shot. And so golf's always been pure that way with its adherence to the rules and its etiquette and courtesy and sportsmanship. And so I think some of the event, you know, went against the grain of that, especially the betting aspect. And you know, every time you turn around, let's bet on closest to the hole and this and longest drive and this and that. And, you know, everything's about betting. That's what I meant. I'd rather see pure golf the way it's played when they play a tournament.
Well, and I know betting is a big part of the sports culture, but I don't know. Just I think it sends a bad message to our kids. And I thought it was interesting just a moment ago, you had said, you know, perhaps maybe this could be a different format for next year, because I really believe it's going to continue. So maybe Phil and Tiger, they team up against two other guys.
Yeah, maybe a couple of young guys like Rory and Jordan.
Oh yeah,
Spieth, and you know, something like that, or Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. That, you know, those two, that would be interesting to see Tiger and Phil play Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth in a match, best ball match. But without all the, you don't need all the microphones and the trash talking and the mm-hmm. and the betting on everything. Just let them go and compete, and let's see. And then you're going to see some great golf. And you'll see them play with momentum and continuity that they usually have. And that would be, to me, a lot more exciting and a lot more fun. And I'd pay double to watch that.
Well, one thing that I would say I thought was positive is the fact that the date that they selected, you know, right after Thanksgiving, because, you know, there was a lot about this, promoting it on social media, and it did bring a lot of attention to the sport. So, I don't know, perhaps it would energize it just a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think we're going to see more of it, and I do hope that they pay attention to what the critical, you know, the critical comments are, and tweak it somewhat. The sports betting, you know, it's something that goes on. You're not going to stop it, but if you open it wide open and make it just universal, you know, that invites a lot of bad things. When you have a lot of money involved, it invites, you know, it invites negative aspects. You start wondering, you know, when you see bad calls repeatedly in a game, then you start wondering, you know, is somebody getting paid off because of all the money?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the betting is not good, because it does invite some of those things into it.
Did it mean more to Phil than Tiger? What do you think?
Oh, I think so, because, you know, Tiger's viewed as, you know, by almost everybody as probably the greatest player ever to play the game, especially when he was really on, and who knows, he might reach that pinnacle again. But I think Phil was, you know, Phil was sort of a level below Tiger. And so, you know, being the so-called underdog, I think it did mean more to Phil to try to beat Tiger. You know, Tiger didn't have that incentive. You know, he knows he's regarded as the best ever, and so he doesn't have anything to prove. And so, yeah, I think that's true. I think Phil did have a bit more incentive than Tiger did in this.
Hey, Larry Miller back with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We do have to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Okay, well, Larry, let's move ahead to 2019. And you think Tiger, is he going to return to the winner's circle? As you were just talking about, it looks like, I mean, he certainly exceeded all of our expectations in 2018, which was really exciting.
I think so. I think this past season has given him confidence, and I think that was the thing he needed, you know, going forward, was a couple of good finishes, and then he had a win at the end. And I think that he got a lot of confidence going forward from that those performances that he had. And so, and his game certainly seems to be on a level, you know, equal to winning multiple times in majors too. I mean, he played great. And so I think that combined with his confidence and also the fact that his back is held up.
Mm-hmm.
He played a lot of golf there at the end of the year, and his back still held up and didn't give him any trouble at all. So that looks great. And I think this is going to be a really interesting year, because here you've got Tiger on a possible tremendous comeback, back to reaching maybe number one in the world. But he's got to go up against all these young guns, you know, Justin Thomas and Jordan and Rory and all these other younger players coming up. So that's going to really be interesting to see if he does really start playing the way he did in his prime, how that's going to measure up against these young stars. That's going to be the interesting thing. So can't wait. It's going to be an exciting year for golf this year, for sure.
Well, and you know too, Larry, Tiger's going to have to be very strategic about the number of events that he schedules. How many would you anticipate that he'll put on his calendar?
Well, he's going to play the four majors for sure.
Okay.
Health, holding up. I think he's going to play some of the other major events, you know, sub-majors, like the Players' Championship, of course, and I think he's going to play a pretty good schedule. I think he wants to, he's going to have to. If he's going to reach the goal, and I know his goal is to get back to number one in the world, that would be an amazing comeback. And I think that's what he's aiming at right now, along with the majors, that he wants to try to sneak up on Nicklaus's record of 18. And so I think he's going to play a heavier schedule than normal, as long as his back holds up, in order to get the points, you know, necessary to get to that goal.
And he's got to be energized, because he had the taste of victory, you know, in what, the latter part of 2018, you know. And as far as when we look at his record and the tournaments that he's played throughout the years, it seems like his trend is that he wins in bunches. And so he's tasted winning. And like you had just said, Larry, he's got that confidence now. And so that's very valuable going forward.
Yeah, that his putter seems to be coming around, and that's the big thing. I think that his ball striking, you know, is always, it never varies all that much, really.
Mm-hmm.
When he's driving the ball in the fairway, then he's really dangerous. But his putter seemed to come alive there toward the latter part of the year. And if that continues, and I know you can bet that he's been working on that driver really hard, trying to get a combination of the equipment and his swing, you know, strategy to hit the ball in the fairway. Because if he's in the fairway all day, he is really hard to beat with his short game.
Well, one guy that is looking for a bounce back year in 2019, of course, is Jordan Spieth. He needs to get his confidence going. And as I understand, he got married over the Thanksgiving holidays. So, you know, he's connecting the dots. We anticipate this is going to be a great season for him.
Well, he got married over Thanksgiving. That's going to be a big plus. Now he's got a boss.
You know it.
Yeah. So now he's got to do what he's told.
That's right.
And, you know, if she says, Jordan, go have 27 putts, he better do it. But yeah, just like Tiger, I'm sure he's worked hard on that putter in the off season. And I said this before, I think a couple of shows ago, I really do look for him to have a big year this year. I think he's just too good not to straighten out that putter and come back strong.
So. Was that the biggest challenge for him, or why he struggled this past year? Was it the short game? Was it the putter?
Yeah, it was the putter for sure. You know, Jordan, he missed too many short putts, which is really uncharacteristic.
Right.
He's always made those 20 and 25 footers. He makes a lot of those because he's a great putter. But for some reason, he got it in his head after he missed a few meaningful four and five footers in a couple of tournaments. Then it gets in your head, and then you start. Once it gets in your head, then you're in trouble. Now, he didn't worry about the 25 footers because he knows he makes a bunch of them, and he keeps making them. But when you're missing those four and five putts that mean something, like he did at the middle to the end of last year, then you. I'm not going to say he had the yips, but it sure got in his head, and he was not stroking the ball with the confidence that he does from 20 and 25 feet.
We are inside the ropes with former PGA Tour player and author Larry Miller. We've got to step aside for a quick break, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Larry Miller and go inside the ropes. Okay, so what should be your mindset if you're in a tournament and your putts, you know, your birdie putts, let's say, are coming up short, you know, just, you know, they're right at the cusp, but they're not rolling in. How do you not get frustrated? I mean, what should your reaction be, and how do you process all of that?
Well, you have to fix it. Sometimes, now, Now, sometimes when you start a tournament round and the speed of the greens is just not to your liking, let's say, or the way you're stroking the ball that week, the greens may be a little slower or a little faster than you anticipated, mm-hmm. and your stroke just is not in tune with that. That can happen. That happens. You can hear Tiger say that all the time, that he had trouble with the pace from the early on, from the first round on. And it's hard to get that going if it starts off that way. But the other thing, you know, you have to fix it. If you keep coming up short on birdie putts, you've got to find a way to fix it. And typically what happens there is that you are not taking the putter back far enough on the backstroke.
Okay.
And what happens is you take it too short, and then it forces you to jab at the putt to try to accelerate it, because you know your body knows that you didn't take it back far enough. So in order to get the momentum you need to get to the hole, you try to speed it up and jab it through the stroke. And what happens then is you miss hit it, you don't hit it solid, and you come up short. Most putts that come up short is because you're not hitting the ball solid. But if you take a long enough backstroke, sort of a leisurely backstroke, and let the momentum of the putter swing through the ball, then you're going to have enough force without jabbing it, and you're going to hit it solid, and you're going to reach the hole. So that's a way to fix it. But the other part of it, you know, just not being able to get the pace right, you have to get on the practice green and work that out. But it can happen. It can get off, you know, on the wrong foot and stay that way all through the tournament. It happens all the time.
Should you extend or exaggerate your finish as well, maybe to get that extra roll?
Well, you want to hold your finish,
hold your finish, yes.
You want to make sure you don't recoil. You know, when you jab at a putt, typically you'll hit the ball, the putter will go forward, and then recoil back.
Okay.
And that's tension in the hands and wrists that causes that, and it's because you jabbed at it. So you want to make sure that you look at Tiger when he putts. Watch mm-hmm. him putt.
Okay.
And when that putter comes through and hits the ball, it goes to the finish, and it sticks. It just, you know, it just sticks. He sticks the finish is the way I like to call it, like an Olympic gymnast.
Okay.
You watch an Olympic gymnast, and they stick the finish. The announcer always says that. Well, that's what you want to do with that putter. You want to stick the finish with that putter head so that you don't recoil. When you recoil, that's when you're jabbing it and likely not to hit it solid.
He is simply the best, always learning something new. And Larry Miller joins us each and every week right here at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation. Former PGA Tour player, check out his book online, Amazon.com. Fantastic Christmas gift, Hanukkah. Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. Always a true pleasure. Thank you so much, Larry. We look forward to another conversation next week, okay?
Happy holidays, everybody, and talk to you next week.
That, of course, is Larry Miller, former PGA Tour player and author. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and lineup tonight. And also a big thank you to our producer, Shay Raftus of SB Nation. As a reminder, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.